Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, today we're going to take on a highly controversial topic, a topic that at first blush may seem somewhat innocent, but I can assure you that once we get into it, there's a good chance you'll be surprised by the opinions of the callers. In short, we're going to talk about high school coaches who, in effect, moonlight as travel coaches or as private coaches in the off season. These are individuals, these coaches, who are on the payroll of the local high school athletic department, but also feel that the only way to build a strong and competitive high school program is to run either a club team or to perhaps offer some private coaching in the summertime. And yes, many of these coaches are indeed paid by the kids who play on their summer club team or who are getting private lessons. This is one of those developments, honestly, again, that didn't exist a generation ago, but it sure does now. I'll give a couple of sample situations. For example, a sports parent will suddenly realize that his son is not getting much playing time on the high school basketball team, and then the parent finds out that the coach, the basketball coach, actually runs a travel team in the summertime, and that it's understood, quote-unquote, that if his kid wants to get a better look and more playing time from the coach, it would behoove the kid to be on that summer league team. Another sports parent hears from his daughter that the softball coach feels that she needs to improve her swing, and perhaps she would benefit if she signed up for private lessons from the coach during the off season. Obviously, these private lessons cost some money. 1-877-337-6666. I want to get as many thoughts and opinions about this this morning, because this is a very tricky, delicate topic. And as we'll talk about in a few minutes, it's difficult to get a consensus from around the country as to what the regulations and rules and policies are in place. They seem to be varied. They seem to differ from state to state. And I will ask you, I mean, is there anything illegal or wrong with a talented and a dedicated coach, a high school coach, working in the off season and outside the school to help improve his or her players and along the way make a few bucks as well? Is that something wrong with that? I mean, before you make up your mind, consider this. For example, in the state of Ohio, since 2017, just a couple of years ago, high school coaches have been free to coach in the off season, and they can charge for it. I mean, why? Because in Ohio, they were finding that too many high school coaches were basically just sort of departing and leaving traditional high school varsity programs in order to coach travel teams outside the school, where the coaches had A, more freedom, B, fewer restrictions, and C, could make more money than coaching within a school district. So in effect, for many, many years in Ohio, whereas they had always banned this, they said to high school coaches, no, you can't do this. You either work within a school district as a coach or you work outside, but you can't do both. 2 years ago, the Ohio Athletic Association did a 180 and said, nah, we're going to change this 100% because we don't think this is working. Why? Because the state officials concluded that they'd rather have certified and qualified high school coaches working with kids on club teams as opposed to having club teams being run by people who don't have any educational background. Interesting conclusion. And again, that's how it is in Ohio. Now, there are a couple of restrictions here and there, but basically that's what's going on. And again, as I'll share with you in a few minutes, this is around the country. It really depends on a state-by-state basis whether you're allowed to coach outside the school district, why you still coach within the school district. And a lot of the cases, they basically say, well, you know what? We'll leave it up to the school district or to the league or the conference or the section as opposed to making a blanket rule. Pretty interesting stuff, particularly if this is all new to you as a sports parent and your son or daughter is going into high school and suddenly is confronted with this kind of situation. There are all sorts of concerns about this from all different places. And again, let's get your thoughts here. 1-877-337-6666. Let's begin our conversation this morning with Eddie calling from Long Island. Eddie, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Great topic this morning. I have two middle school children that are both play sports. One in particular, my son played PAL up through elementary, and then plays for middle school in a couple of different sports, but he's also played club lacrosse or travel team. And, you know, it's very political. The coaches that coach his travel team were all coaches for high schools and in some instances for parochial schools. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that in principle. Certainly, I don't think there's anything wrong with limiting the ability of a high school coach as long as it doesn't interfere with his duties to the school in coaching outside of the school. However, I do think that there are some circumstances where some of these coaches who coach the travel teams and are affiliated with high schools or especially parochial schools start to recruit some of the better players away from the high schools towards those parochial schools.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, like lacrosse, which is highly, highly competitive, and which seems to be the one that I have experienced this in, it's become very evident to me that that is something that goes on with some of the travel teams. And another thing that's happened is because it's become so competitive, the tryouts for these travel clubs have been pushed earlier and earlier into the summer months, where it used to be, you know, kids would kind of, at the end of their summer break, start to these tryouts. It's now pushed into July because the competition to get these kids, the better kids, to play with your travel club, and the advent of social media with chat boards, et cetera, where parents, by the way, become crazy with, you know, this team and your kid and that kid. It's really, that's troublesome to me.
Eddie, let me just come back to that first point you make, which I think is one that's part of this whole concern, and that is that, at least in principle, it's fine. Because you're saying, look, let's take advantage of having these high school coaches who obviously have been licensed and certified and theoretically have a background in physical education, so they know what they're doing. But the concern you just pointed to is one of many, and that is we're now beginning to put a real ethical kind of weight on these coaches, saying in effect, well, if you're going to work in the off season as well and do a travel or club team, which to me are sort of comparable, the fact is, you mentioned that, well, sometimes these coaches, particularly perhaps the parochial school teams, they're trying to look for best players they can find within their area, and they're tempted to sort of say, you know, this kid's pretty good. He goes to a local public school. Maybe I can somehow convince him, because he's on my travel team, to maybe consider going to my parochial school. And that's right. Where we're sitting to get a very sort of a fuzzy gray area. Is that ethical? Is that something that it should be okay? It's one thing if the kid goes or the parent goes to the kid to the coach and says, hey, my kid would like to go, same like going transferring to a parochial school. That's one thing, but it's a little different when the coach is saying, hey, why don't you consider going to, you know, the school where I coach? As you mentioned, it's very political, and it puts a great deal of it puts a great deal of scrutiny on that coach to do the right thing. And as I said, that's one of the concerns I've heard about a lot. And again, there's no guidance on this.
Yeah, well, the other thing too, Rick, is these travel clubs, and I can't speak to baseball. My son doesn't play travel baseball.
Right.
He does play basketball now. The basketball is far less expensive. But when it comes to lacrosse, these, you know, it can be between $2,500 and $4,000.
Of course.
To be part of these club teams. And then the clubs offer winter training, offensive training, defensive training, and it's another $300 or $400, et cetera. And my son is now, I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to say where we live or anything for different reasons, Long Island, North Shore of Long Island. There's a lot of legitimacy to having an experienced high school coach these travel kids. I mean, ultimately, you want your child not just not just to enjoy the sport and enjoy the competitiveness and learn how to be part of a team culture, etc., but you want him to get better. You want him to get the best coaching. And there's no question that once you get past the, let's call it the PAL, where many times in the PAL up to sixth grade or whatever to seventh grade, those are coached by parents.
Right.
And then when you, once you get into middle schools where you start to get more experienced, qualified, let's call them coaches. And again, I have no issue with that. But just in general, the competitiveness and the mentality of parents who think that their kid is going to get a scholarship.
but that's, you know, that's Eddie, that's where everybody's being fed the dream, and that's where it all starts. And, of course, it's complicated because the coach, who obviously knows, he or she knows that the odds of the, any kid getting a scholarship are few and far between, but they also know that they can help feed the dream by saying, you know, your kid would be that much further along to having that dream come true. And, Eddie, thank you for the call this morning. But the point is that the coach knows that, A, I can keep this kid coming in and paying me a lot of money in the off season to work on their game. And, of course, the parent thinking, well, this is great because the coach has my son or daughter's best interest at heart. But do they? And, again, I will tell you, in the last few months, I've received an inordinate number of emails from parents, not just around here, but all over the country, saying, is this okay? Is this legit? I mean, all of a sudden, I noticed that my son wants to get more playing time. It's become clear that he has to go and play on this summer or travel club team because that's where the coach expects the kid basically to, in effect, pay to play, and it's going to translate into the course of the regular high school season. That's where we get, as mentioned to Eddie, that's where it gets a little dicey in terms of the ethical and moralistic concerns here. Now, a lot of coaches we know say, no, there's no connection between the two, and I understand the concerns. But, again, it's sort of difficult to find one's way through this maze, particularly if you're a sports parent, as Eddie said, you know, this costs a lot of money, and we're wondering how this is going to pay off down the road. I mean, this is today where we are in terms of the relationship between, you know, excellent high school coaches who also want to know, hey, you know what? As I said, they said in Ohio, we're going to lose our best high school coaches because they're going to make $4,000 or $5,000 for 10 weeks of coaching. They're going to go work in a travel program and just leave the high school, make more money, and have less restrictions put upon them. It's very, very tricky to say the least. All right, let me take a pause. I want to get into this obviously with all your phone calls, and of course we'll take as many as we can at 1-877-337-6666. First, let me take a pause. Dave Uram has your update. I'll be back, and I'll go right to the phones.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge. I'm Rick Wolf. We're talking this morning about this very delicate issue of high school coaches who obviously, whether it's an attempt to strengthen their team and to get them more seasoning or to give them more instruction, that sometimes high school coaches will obviously work in the off season, the summertime, either with a club team or travel team with their players in some situations, or they're working as private instructors. Again, this is all for pay outside the school district. Now, I've done some research about this in the weeks, in the last past few weeks, and it's difficult to get a sense. I know, for example, in one email I got from a sports mom out in California, apparently in California, this is all about the local school district as opposed to having the California Interscholastic Federation. They don't have a statewide policy. It's up to the individual school district to make their own policy about what their coaches do or don't in the off season. There are obviously questions about the ethics of allowing a coach who's under contract with the school to work outside the school during the summer months. Again, we all want to make a few extra bucks. That's the American way. But again, I actually called Robert Zayas here in New York. Robert is the executive director of the New York State Athletic Association, and to get what the rule is in New York State. And Robert said, yes, they're very much aware of this problem, but he says there is no broad New York State rule on this issue. He did tell me that if he had his druthers, he would much prefer to have a certified New York State licensed coach run a travel or a club team outside of school than just someone who puts out a shingle. This is comparable to what they decided to do in Ohio. But from what Robert told me, as far as I could understand, in New York State at least, and I didn't have a chance to check on Connecticut or Jersey, Pennsylvania, but he says it's up to the individual school district or the league in which the school plays in, a conference, or the section to have a policy in place as to what it comes to coaches running programs outside, programs for pay outside the school. So, again, this is an issue that's been all over the country, and it's hard to get a real sort of straightforward rule on this, but this is where we are. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin. I know, Jack, we've talked about this issue in the past. I know this is something that you've take very seriously.
Well, it is a very serious topic, and, you know, your first caller was a little bit off topic with the recruiting part of it, but they are related. And there's only one rule that I've lived by in my many years of coaching. It's unethical to ever take money from a player that you coach. And if coaches can't understand that, well, then there's a problem, because these are people that you are, first of all, at the high school level. If I was a high school coach and I was privately coaching one of my players off season, I'm getting paid to coach that player during the season. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the off season, it's a different ball game. And I've told every one of the girls that I've ever coached, boys included, that if you want instruction from me, okay, it's going to cost nothing. And we can work after practice, before practice, every single day. I would be there no matter what. And but for coaches, there's a program in New Jersey, up here northern New Jersey, that had a coaching vacancy. And you and I have discussed this. Mm-hmm. And the coaching vacancy was at a large school, a big Group 4 school. And the coach that came in and took the job had his own private academy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he told his girls was that if they were going to learn hitting, they were going to learn hitting from his coaches and himself. So therefore, if they had any private coaches, that they would have to leave. Well, I know a fact that three of those girls actually quit the game because they had to leave their private coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is, in my eyes, it's unethical. It's like it's just a no-no. As far as the recruiting part of it, you know, that happens all the time. And I coached at the public school level for over 40 years. And our biggest problem was that these Catholic school coaches, many of them, and the only one in New Jersey that I was affiliated with that I knew did not recruit was St. Mary's in Rutherford. Those were classy coaches. Both I knew very well, never recruited, never promoted their program. They had open houses like every other Catholic school, but never did they try to recruit. And when I was coaching wrestling, real quick, when I was coaching wrestling at Fairlawn High School, I remember one year in the county tournament, the beginning of the year, it's one of the largest wrestling tournaments in the country. There are over 70 schools that compete in this. And I remember in the 13 weight classes, now we had a great program. Fairlawn was a powerhouse back then. In the 13 weight classes, in the finals, 12 of the 13 weight classes were represented by a Fairlawn wrestler, and only one wrestled for Fairlawn. And, you know, well, that's recruiting. Well, right? I don't care what anybody says. So.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I want to come back very quickly, Jack, about the concern. As you said, if you had a kid who's on your softball team, and you know, you're saying the kid says, well, you say, look, I run also private instruction in the summertime, but I'm not going to charge you because you're one of my players.
Exactly.
But that is what we're talking about. I mean, that's all of a sudden, if a high school coach has kids on their softball team and they say to the kid, well, you know, in the summertime, I can give you private lessons. It'll cost you, you know, $75 an hour. That's a real red flag, at least it seems to me, because, you know, how does a coach, you know, basically self-guide oneself as to what this means in terms of giving that kid more playing time or taking money? It's just really, to me...
Well, think about it. Think about how crazy that could possibly be. Here a coach is coaching his kid privately.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's going to make that kid better. She's going to make it probably to the starting lineup. What do you think all these other parents sitting in the stands are going to think?
She's
not that good. You know, she's not that good. But he's playing her because she's paying him.
Yeah,
you know?
That's.
I mean,
talk about basically raising eyebrows and supplying chatter for cocktail parties with the parents. I mean, this is really bizarre, and yet. It's up to the school district. And the other thing, and Jack, I'll let you go. I have other calls to get to, but thank you for your comments.
Rick.
Thanks, Jack. And the point is, it's very difficult if you're a sports parent and your kid's a freshman or sophomore trying to make the high school team, and you go to the athletic director or to the principal or the school board and say, can you delineate for me what our policy is about coaches coaching outside of school? And having kids at the high school team basically paying for private instruction to that coach in the off season, or for being on the coach's travel team, that's a delicate conversation to have, because immediately, obviously, you're concerned about repercussions and retribution on your own kid who's trying to make that team. I get that, and most of the emails I've been receiving about this point to that exact concern. Let's move on. Let's go to Hawthorne, New Jersey. James is standing by. James, hi there. You're on the fan.
Hey, Rick, good morning.
Yes, sir.
So we've gotten the perspective from the parent who's invested the money and who, what sounds like it's kind of unclear on how this process works. And we've also gotten the perspective of what seems like a coach who has experience in the public sector of the, this coaching thing. But
right.
I just kind of wanted to offer a different perspective, because I think it's important to understand. When you consider this being immoral or maybe unethical, you have to consider the motivations and where it's all really stemming from.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what things are looking like now in terms of scholastic sports and people looking for opportunity in high school and looking for collegiate opportunity, it really is driven by the parents' desire to offer their kids, the opportunity at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those expectations are a little unrealistic, and I think where the questions on morality and ethics come in is really kind of starting there. How far is a parent willing to push the kid, and is a parent being reasonable with the expectations? And as a parent, I think everybody, just like any decision outside of athletics, every parent should consider whether something is good and right for their child or whether it's a stretch. And I think it should start there.
Well, James, this is why in Ohio, big state, a lot of great high school athletes, as I mentioned a couple of years ago, they did a 180 because the Athletic Association in Ohio said, you know what, we're losing so many really dedicated, well-qualified high school coaches because they're all migrating out of high school to work on the outside in the summer leagues and the travel and club teams because, quite frankly, that's where the better athletes are migrating anyhow. And the Athletic Association said, you know what, let's quit fighting this battle. If we're going to have this happen, let's get our best coaches work in the summer leagues and work outside the school district, because at least they're qualified, they're licensed, they know CPR, they know how to work with kids, they know how to communicate. And I know what you're saying, that again, this is probably in effect driven by the parents who all feel their kids are going to be the next superstar. But as you can tell, and it gets to be a little dicey and tricky if you're having the coach both in the high school, under contract with the high school, also work on the outside. You see, there's always that presumption of perhaps that something is not above board. And it sounds like you coach yourself or have some interest of or you run travel programs?
I don't run a travel program, but I have coaching experience, and I'm on a staff currently, a parochial staff.
Yep.
And I hear a lot about coaching players and, things that people might consider unethical or immoral. But I assure you that the things that go on at this type of program, especially when it's one of the bigger programs, the more well-known programs, they have it's just kind of like an established thing where everyone on the staff kind of goes about their business, and there's a certain structure to it. At the bigger programs, it's no different than what you would expect at a college.
I want to stay away from the issue, which about parochial schools theoretically recruiting high school kids. That's a different issue. We're talking here more about the payment situation, and I I think that's the bigger issue. I think we all know that
in terms of the payment.
Yep.
You know, then you start talking about more qualified coaches, and like you said, you have people being certified, you have people with the experience that kids really are drawn to. It's like anything else. If there's a certain expertise that would benefit the kid in his development, you know, sometimes it's worth paying for. I'm not saying I accept money. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I also understand why some coaches feel like they can charge. The truth of the matter is, some coaches don't benefit from, high salaries, and a lot, especially in the public schools. Public schools aren't really paid great all the time.
James, that's exactly my point. If you're a high school coach and you've gone through all the training, you've got your educational background, and you know that, and James, thank you for your thoughts this morning. If you're a high school coach and you're doing all this and you're really pouring your heart and soul into your team, regardless of what sport it is, it's a 10-week season, but obviously you're doing this pretty much all year round, and you're making maybe $4,000 or $5,000 tops, and then you look outside and you know how much money you keep hearing about what college coaches are making, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and at what you might consider to be mid-level programs. So you're saying, well, obviously there's huge money involved, and then you hear through the grapevine that the outside travel coaches are making double, triple, whatever you're making, even more. And you say, well, this is silly. If I can make more money doing what I do and I can help improve my school team, why shouldn't I be on the outside in the summer leagues, running a club team for my high school players or running private tutorials, because I can make more money. In the meantime, I can also improve my kids, which is all good, and basically make it sort of like a full year-round kind of commitment. So everybody, it's a win-win. The problem is, as we've just been talking about here, the problems are that there always raises the specter of the kid in the high school team is paying the coach in the summer leagues for private instruction or to be on a travel team that the coach is affiliated with. It just, we put a lot of trust and faith in humanity to do the right thing here, to say when the season begins the following, school year, that, this is what you did in the summertime is great, and I'm glad you paid for it, but now we're going to be on an all equal level playing field. That sometimes is hard for parents to accept, and the kids as well. All right, let me take a timeout. When I return, we'll continue. Stay with me. Hey, don't forget that 9 o'clock this morning, playoff weekend, of course, Football Sunday will be along with Mark Melusis and Dave Deal. And as always, I ask you to check out my website at askcoachwolf.com, where you can also go and contact me to line up speaking engagements about the topics we discuss here on the show. My book, Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed, still going strong, I'm glad to say, and I actually hope to have some very exciting news about my book in the next few weeks. One quick note, Michael Rosenberg, who is a gifted sports writer, he has an absolutely stunning piece in Sports Illustrated this week about Todd and Marv Marinovich. Marv Marinovich, as some of you will recall, was considered the original out-of-control and overzealous sports parent. This goes back, obviously, 30-some-odd years. But the article that Rosenberg put together, it's a very sad, sobering account of a dad, of a sports dad who wanted his son to be a star and top athlete. And his son, Todd was at USC and then to the NFL. But all the havoc and heartache that all this caused both the father, Marinovich, Marv Marinovich, and his entire family. Again, that's in Sports Illustrated. Okay, this morning we're talking about whether it's okay for high school coaches to work and be paid outside on travel teams or given private instruction. And I'm taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue our discussion with Jason out of Connecticut. Jason, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, Jason.
I coached high school soccer and high school baseball for 15 years in Connecticut.
Yep.
And the CIAC, the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, does not allow us to coach a team of our athletes. You can coach half of what's on the field. So for soccer, 5.5 got rounded up to 6. So at the end of the soccer season, if my guys went to play indoor and I had 6 guys on the team, I can coach that team. But if one guy dropped out in the next session, a different kid came on, that becomes a seventh athlete in the offseason, I can no longer coach that team.
Yeah, that's the rule. That's the rule in Ohio as well, by the way. Okay, go on.
We also don't allow our athletes to play the same sport in the same season. So you can play high school soccer and fall ball and then go play high school baseball in the spring and spring soccer, but you can't play high school baseball and play on your park or travel team as the seasons overlap.
But, Jason, let me ask you this. Going back to the summer league situation, were you allowed to coach those travel teams? Obviously you were, and also get paid for it?
I never personally did. I'm not sure what that is, but again, if you had more than that number of athletes on your team, and there's always loopholes around it where there's a dad that coaches it. It's not really you that's on paper as the coach. So, I mean, obviously everywhere you're going to see stuff like that. There were some exceptions where with individual sports, like you go into some of these towns where the high school swim coach happens to be the swim coach at the Y, so that unless this kid's traveling an hour away, you're going to have the same coach. So there's stuff like that where there were some loopholes in the rule.
Yeah, but my point is that, you know, you would like to have that stuff explained up front and delineated, and clearly we have to assume that these summer league coaches or out-of-season coaches are obviously getting paid, right. Whether it's because, well, we have expenses, we have to, you know, pay the pool rental or get the cost of the ice for the rink or whatever it might be, or insurance or the refs. Somebody's getting paid here, and it's usually the coach is part of that, because why would he or she give her their time in the off season just because they want to do it? No, they know that people are getting paid for this. So
I coach in our local rec league, and it's youth. It's 13 and below, basically, and that's a volunteer thing, like all the young groups, and then you do have the travel team. And my opinion from what I've seen, because within our state, there's some legendary coaches in each of the sports, and they have the talent to go to that junior college or that minimum. I think at the high school level, you're doing it more for the passion. I mean, there'd be teachers that would complain if we left the period early because they think we're going to Hawaii on our coaching check, and that's not the case. We're making, and when you break it down, like you said, yeah, you're there for 8 weeks or 10 weeks, you're really starting 2 weeks early. You're going a couple weeks late. You have meetings throughout the season, league meetings. You're making like $1.50 an hour when you break it down. And we're doing it for the love of the sport and the coaching. And for those coaches that would like to make the money, you know, those college positions are out there. Those other positions are out there. You wouldn't see someone at a high school for 15, 20, 30, 35 years coaching that same team for all these years if it was about the money.
Jason, I hear you loud and clear, and thank you this morning for checking in. But I will say this. We know high school coaches, if you break down how they get paid on an hourly basis for all the hours and sweat and toil they put into their profession, it's probably $1.50 an hour. That's why we're always concerned about the temptation, because they're looking around thinking, well, it's tough getting a job going from high school to a JUCO or to a four-year school. And quite frankly, while I'm waiting to get that big break, I can make extra cash in the summertime coaching a travel or summer league team and get paid or do private instruction. And that's where the concern, sort of really settles in, and you're sort of sitting there as you're a sports parent. Wait a minute, if my kid wants to be a starter on the high school basketball or hockey team or softball team, do I have to make sure my kid gets private instruction in the summertime and have to pay the coach to do that? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Let's go quickly over to Staten Island. Alex, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Go ahead, Alex.
I'm good, man. Listen, I think you're taking all the joy and happiness. At the end of the day, it's a game. We're playing baseball, basketball, football. You know, it's a game.
Yes, I know that, but the problem is we're dealing now with parental expectations that they think their kid is going to be the next.
But the parents are ruining the game. It's sports. If you can rake, you can rake. You know?
But I hear you, and I wish we could go back. And, Alex, thanks for the call. I wish we could go back to just the innocent times of the pure joy of just playing a game. But no, everybody's now fixated on the fact that my kid is going to be the next superstar. My kid is on the fast track to get a full scholarship and to go on to become a millionaire playing pro ball. We know that's not the reality for the vast majority of our kids, but the joy and the fun and the passion, that's been squeezed off, pushed off to the side because there's too much money involved. And now the coaches, and I understand this, we're all human, they want to get part of the gravy train as well, and that's very understandable. Let's continue. Let's go to Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, I'm curious as to what you think about all this.
Good, Rick. Well, here's my feeling on it. With high school coaches, okay, what do you say if a parent comes up to you to ask about private lessons? You understand what I'm saying? It's not that the coach is solicited. What about the parent who respects the coach wants them to do private lessons?
Wait, so the parent comes to the high school baseball coach, and I know baseball is your specialty, and says to the head coach, hey, you know, do you do private instructions for hitters? And if the coach says, yes, I do that in the off season, I mean, yeah, that's – so the parent says, well, how much do you charge and when can we start? Because my kid could benefit from your expertise. That's difficult. That puts the coach in an awkward spot, does it not, Ed?
I don't think so, especially if the parent comes to them on that.
Suppose let's just take it because we're talking about a high school now. We're talking about an educational venue. If I'm a parent and my kid is struggling in English or in math, and they go to their kid's English teacher in 11th grade and say, hey, you know, would you consider tutoring my son or my daughter outside of school? I'll be glad to pay you for that. Isn't that the same kind of thing? So, I mean, does that work? I mean, what I understand in school districts that teachers aren't allowed to accept outside compensation from parents or to accept gifts or stuff like that. I mean,
well, here's what it is, Rick. In the state of New Jersey, coaches can't coach their kids during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
Once the last state event is done,
right,
which is usually the high school baseball state tournament. Now the coaches can coach their kids. But here's what it is. This is about a private lesson that they're asking the coach to do. I mean, what the coach should say is this: look, there's no guarantee if I do the lesson that your son makes the team and all that stuff. He should flat out say it, even if it might be his best player on the team. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they make that, now they cover their rear end. If you understand what I'm saying,
Ed, I think that's the first step where
absolutely
to have some transparency where the coach says, look, I'm not allowed to work with you or coach your kid or do private instruction during the season, but I do run clinics in the summertime. However, you understand that, and I make this very clear, if I work with your son, you understand that's no guarantee that's going to increase his playing time or he's going to rise in the ranks or in the depth chart. It has nothing to do with that. I think
I'm sorry, Rick. Are you fishing? I'll make a comment.
Well, very quickly, I think that's the way to do this. But again, it's there's always going to be this expectation from the parent that I paid this coach to work with my son. No?
Well, here's the a smart coach, what they would do is this. They would sit down with their athletic director, say, hey, I want to bring this up. It hasn't been brought up yet. How would you want me to handle this? And let's say, for example, let's say some players come up to me or parents and ask about lessons.
Well,
okay, fine. Now, here's the thing. You bring it up to the AD how to handle it. If that AD says, well, I think it's not ethical, then you don't do it, especially if you want to be the high school baseball coach at that school.
Ed, I got to take a time out, but I agree with you. This is what we're trying to get. Get this out and about and let somebody like the AD put the word or mandate or whatever so there's clarity on this. And I think it's the first step. Ed, I'm sorry, I got to run.
Don't worry,
you
got to do what you got to do. I'll talk to you, Rick, next week.
Thanks, Ed. All right, let me take a quick timeout. I got a few comments about this as well, but I do think that's the first step, as I said, towards getting some clarity for not just the coaches, but for the parents and the kids as well. Two closing comments about this topic, and the first comment is a personal observation, and I will tell you that, yes, I'm very sensitive to the fact that coaches obviously spend long hours at the high school level and get paid very little for all the time and effort and sweat and sacrifice they put into it. But personally, I would find it very difficult to have one of my kids pay me for extra tutelage or tutorial or to be on an outside team. I just think once you're getting paid by one or a few of your kids on your team, that sets up all sorts of potential for conflict of interest. If you are going to go in this direction within your school district, and I guess that's the wave we're seeing around the country these days, I think it behooves basically the superintendent, the principal, the board of education, the athletic director to make it very clear and upfront at the start of the year what the school's policies are about coaches at the high school level and what they can do and not do in terms of being outside tutors, getting paid for this, running travel teams for their players. I think clarity and transparency is essential on this kind of topic. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Connor Green. Please stick around for Football Sunday. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.